Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
So have you ever been in a meeting, Nathan, where people are brainstorming ideas and each idea is more idiotic and off target than the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's happened to all of us. And if you're an experienced copywriter, sometimes it's hard to bite your tongue because the cheerful but inexperienced leader at the beginning of the meeting announced a rule. There are no bad ideas. Well, yes, there are. And that meeting, you heard a whole pile of them. I can almost guarantee what the problem was, too. There are several steps, including one crucial step that everyone in the meeting never took, except maybe you. And that leads to falling in love with uninformed, aimless creativity. And that is one of the biggest causes of wasted advertising dollars imaginable. I imagine that's how you get emus trying to sell insurance, you know, with detective badges and stuff. I'm going to tell you that missing piece, missing step. And listen, I can't promise that everyone in the next meeting will take it ahead of time, but if they do, I can promise you'll get much better ideas, even if you're the only copywriter there. Good promise. But first, here's something that's definitely not a bad idea. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So here's the thing. When a good method or technique becomes popular, it usually gets watered down. Like Anders Ericsson said, there are two types of things that require about 10,000 hours of practice from childhood: becoming a virtuoso violinist and becoming a ballerina. And Malcolm Gladwell takes it and says, well, it takes 10,000 hours to get good at anything, but that wasn't the original idea. So sometimes a key part of a good idea, which is too inconvenient, or actually most people don't want to hear about or doesn't fit into a meme, that gets snipped off. And that's bad news for everyone, including yourself, as you'll see in a minute. Today, we're going to talk about why this problem occurs, what it is with brainstorming copy ideas, and how to fix it. All right. So maybe the most expensive and dangerous idea for brainstorming copy ideas is there are no bad ideas. It's kind of like saying you can eat anything you want without gaining weight. Now, under some circumstances, that's true. Those circumstances are when your body is burning as many calories as you're taking in, then you can eat anything you want without gaining weight. Now, I'm sure there are experts who can point out rare situations where that's not true, but for the most part, it is true. And the key thing that makes it true is the circumstances, which are as long as you are burning as many calories as you're taking in. Great. Same thing with there are no bad ideas. Under the right circumstances, it's really good advice. But most people leave out the right circumstances. Most people don't even know what they are. So before we get into some tricks to make your brainstorming even more productive and more profitable, let's talk about what needs to happen before you start randomly generating wild ideas. In other words, what circumstances do you need to create? To find out, let's take a whirlwind tour, magic time machine, backwards to 1921, when a man named Alex Osborne published a book called A Short Course in Advertising. And 17 years later, in 1938, Alex Osborne coined the term brainstorming. But the term brainstorming didn't become widely known until 1953, when he published his groundbreaking book, Applied Imagination. In the book, he spelled out seven steps for brainstorming. Now, they're too detailed to go over all seven today, but it's important to note that his second step was called preparation, gathering pertinent data. And it wasn't until the fourth step that he recommended coming up with ideas. Here's what's important about that. If you start generating ideas without doing at least some focused research and having the information in your mind ahead of time, the ideas you're likely to come up with are going to be silly or cliches or irrelevant more than they're likely to be any good. It would be like asking AI to give you 10 taglines for your product without telling AI what your product is. I just did that on ChatGPT to show you how bad that approach is. I said, give me 10 names for my product. I didn't tell it what the product was. Here's what it gave me. Nova Pulse, Zenitha, Fluxo, Atheric, Lumora, Vervion, Quantileaf, Nexacore, Salvix, Emberon. Pretty dumb, right? Well, your brain works the same way. No input means pathetic output. That's why you need to prepare your brain. Good input leads to great output.
Just going to the ChatGPT thing, yeah. I've had similar experiences where I ask it a question without context and it spits out the worst ideas. And it feels like some of these meetings sometimes where we don't establish the context first and it's just 2 hours of wasted time.
Yeah. And it may be a curse of knowledge thing, right? Like, I know this. So, no, doesn't everybody know this? No. You have to tell them.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about preparation for copywriting brainstorming. And we'll go back to the old master himself, Alex Osborne. I'm going to read you what he said about the preparation stage in his book and make some comments along the way. In Applied Imagination, Osborne writes, preparation, nominally the second step in the creative process, calls for two kinds of knowledge, that which we have previously stored and that which we gather anew to bear upon our creative problem. Okay, pausing the reading for a second, I want to say, we're going to talk about those two types of knowledge and what they look like for copywriters just in a moment. But let's continue with Osborne after he talks about gathering knowledge to solve a creative problem. He says, memory serves as a fuel tank. The octane of the contents depends on how we have taken them in. The fuel we have stored up by active striving and firsthand experience is likely to be far richer, higher octane, than that which we have come in through idle speculation, listless reading, and lazy listening. Okay, I'm going to interrupt him again to underline what he just said. So important. You'll be much better at brainstorming once you've had actual experience writing copy and dealing with problems and results in the real world. Continuing with what Osborne has to say, there's a disagreement about the extent to which one should gather material at the start of the creative product. Many successful creativists believe in saturating themselves with facts. One writer recently remarked, I seem unable to turn out anything worthwhile without the attendant agony of boning up interminably at first. Okay, interrupting again. Now, the phrase boning up may sound obscene today, but it used to be a common phrase meaning studying something intensely or quickly. Okay, continuing with Osborne. This is especially true in science, according to Nobel Prize winner Ivan Pavlov. Quote, perfect as is the wing of a bird, it could never raise the bird up without resting on air. Facts are the air of the scientist. Without them, you can never fly. Henry J. Taylor, Osborne writes, Henry J. Taylor once described Bernard Baruch's creative thinking as following this pattern. He gets the facts, he studies them patiently, and then he applies his imagination. Osborne says, but in talking with Mr. Taylor, I found out that he agreed that Mr. Baruch's imagination must work in all three steps. After he gets his basic facts, he has to think up what further information he needs, and in seeking those new facts, he likewise has to use his imagination. Okay, Henry Taylor, never heard of him? He was a radio talk show host and an all-around overachiever back in the day. Now, I want to get back to the two types of knowledge you as a copywriter need before you start brainstorming. When Osborne says previously stored knowledge, that includes what you studied from all your study of copywriting, reading, I don't know, advertising headlines that make you rich and breakthrough copywriting and the persuasion story code and scientific advertising and Ogilvy on advertising. And you get the idea. Oh, of course, breakthrough advertising. What has become now part of your muscle memory through training and experience? The ability to have a gut feel about the copy the minute you see it. Now, depending on your level of experience, you'll have more or less of this in your muscle memory, what I call copywriting reflexes. But the takeaway here is that you need to know something about copywriting before you start brainstorming headlines, big ideas, bullet points, and so on. And usually, the more the better. That's the first kind of knowledge. The second kind includes what you found out about the product itself, the one you're brainstorming ideas for. Also, it includes the other research you've done, like how competitors are marketing the same kind of product. Once you've gotten to this point, you can confidently come up with anything under the protection of the phrase, there are no bad ideas. Now, some of your ideas will suck, and some of them will be great. But the important thing to realize is you'll be brainstorming in the right circumstances. In other words, you'll have, as Nathan was saying, you'll have context to brainstorm within or from. And there's more. We're going to drill down on the two overall types of copy ideas to brainstorm and two pretty different ways to do it. But for now, understand that you've got to saturate your brain with the right information before you start generating ideas.
You've used the analogy of cooking a stew before and making sure you add in a bunch of ingredients before you start boiling and expecting a good stew to come out. And that always has stuck with me, the idea of taking the knowledge that you know about copywriting, taking the knowledge you know about the market, taking the knowledge you know about the offer, and absorbing all of that and then letting it stew for a while before you start brainstorming.
Yeah, I think the phrase, there are no bad ideas, is kind of like the secret. It's magical thinking. It works, but it works as part of a bigger process. And so let's dive in. Let's get a little more granular now. We've covered a prep step in your mind to get into the ideal circumstances for brainstorming copy ideas. Now let's talk about what you're going to brainstorm and how to do it. You've done your research. You have your skills and experience, whatever you have at the moment. Now, what are you going to brainstorm? Well, there are extensive, detailed, complicated manuals and courses on creativity, and you might find them useful, but that's not what we're going to do here. I'm going to boil it down to the basics so we can cover it in the time that we have. And I've been successfully, myself, brainstorming headlines, leads, book titles, positioning statements, and sales copy for my mentoring and consulting clients for years. And I can tell you from experience and lots of dollars, the majority of them flowing into my clients' pockets, these methods really work. So first of all, with copy, what you're going to brainstorm boils down to one of two things. Abstract ideas like positioning, strategy, big ideas, and concrete ideas like headlines, leads, and bullets. Now, it's easier to come up with concrete ideas, even great headlines, than it is to come up with abstract ideas. But the good news is you don't have to come up with nearly as many abstract ideas as you need to come up with concrete ideas. And though the abstract ones take more time, when you get it right, they're worth the extra time. Also, so we've got two types of ideas, abstract, concrete. Also, there are two primary ways to brainstorm that we're going to talk about today. One is adaptive brainstorming, where you take something that's already proven to work, maybe in a different niche, maybe even for a competitor, and you change a few words to make it work for the offer you're promoting. And of course, we call this swiping. And while it's the easier of the two methods, it's also less likely to produce breakthroughs, but it's safer. And in markets which are not super competitive, it may be your best bet, but not in super competitive methods markets, especially financial publishing. In that case, you're probably going to want to use the second method, and that's creative brainstorming. That's where you take two different ideas and combine them into a new idea. This is harder and riskier, But this is where the big breakthroughs come from. So in a minute, we'll take a look in more depth at each one.
Yeah, I'm thinking there was a Geico commercial with a gecko, and it seemed to work. And so the team got together and they said, you know what? Animals, let's use an emu.
I know. And that was like the beginning of a very dark era in insurance advertising.
You know, what's funny about it is it's a running joke here. We pick fun at the emu. I've seen 1,000 emu commercials. I still don't remember which insurance company the emu is supposed to tie to my brain.
I can tell you. Liberty Mutual. Okay. Now you have some idea of the chaos going on in my head all the time. Okay. So let's talk about the first kind of brainstorming, adaptive brainstorming. Let's say you're offering, I don't know, copywriting mentoring. That sounds like a good idea to me. I guess it would. I've been doing it 25 years. So let's say I want to write a new sales letter. If you need to come up with a headline, you could use adaptive brainstorming to come up with a bunch of headlines and then choose several to test. Now, I've got 70 proven headlines you can swipe in my book, Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich. So let's pick one and I'll walk you through the brainstorming process. The first part, of course, is to get or have some general copywriting knowledge and experience. I've been writing copy for over 30 years. I've been mentoring people for 20, so I guess I got that part nailed. Then customer knowledge and product knowledge for this particular offer. I've coached dozens of people long-term, one-on-one. So I've got my previously stored knowledge, my copywriting reflexes, and my product knowledge all ready to go. Now, let's take one original headline from page 89 of the print edition of Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich. Here is a method that is helping thousands to improve and renew their vital tone of youth. Okay, that's a little old-fashioned to be sure, but the structure and the strategy are good. Promise a specific benefit, improve and renew the vital tone of youth that your market wants right in the headline. So the template for the headline is, here is a method, then describe your customer group. Two, now describe the benefit or benefits they are receiving. Now, we could break this down to describing different customer groups and then separately describe the benefits differently, but it's such a short piece of work, one sentence, that we can brainstorm them all at once. Let's try a few adaptively brainstormed headlines. Here is a method for experienced copywriters to get better, faster, and also make a lot more money. Okay, not bad, a little generic, but still appealing. Here's another one. Here is how successful copywriters become even more successful, faster and easier than they ever thought possible. I like that one better. It promises a benefit I can prove and creates a lot of intrigue. And here's one just for the there are no bad ideas category. Here is how copywriters from Mars can win on Saturn, Mercury, and Venus. That's probably not going to work, but it was fun to reach escape velocity for a few moments there. Okay, you get the idea. By starting with a proven structure, product knowledge, and at least the rudiments of knowledge of what makes good copy, you can quickly generate a lot of new ideas, new headline ideas in just a few minutes. And you can do the same with leads, bullets, and other kinds of copy. Now, it's not so easy to use adaptive brainstorming for abstract concepts. Let's take a favorite example we used before on other episodes of this podcast, an Agora Big Idea that was used to promote some kind of energy-related trading opportunity. So trading some kind of energy securities, stocks, futures, I don't know, instruments in Paris, okay? And this was the big idea, oil under the Eiffel Tower. It's a clever image, especially because at first glance, the Eiffel Tower looks a lot like an old-style oil derrick, those tall metal towers in the oil field you would see above an oil well. A lot of thought and intricate construction went into the phrase oil under the Eiffel Tower. Now, suppose you were a financial copywriter and you were writing about new opportunities in corn futures in a financial promotion. You could do an adaptive big idea like this. corn silos under the Sears Tower. Because, you know, the Chicago Board of Trade has business in corn futures, and the Sears Tower is a well-known Chicago landmark. But corn in Chicago is not really as startling as oil in Paris. In fact, there are farms that grow corn within 30 miles, as the crow flies, from the Chicago city limits. Also, the Sears Tower hardly resembles a corn silo, a very different shape. So that wouldn't work. And abstract ideas that shine are harder to come up with and take longer. That example should give you an idea of why more conceptual copy elements are harder to brainstorm using the adaptive method.
I wanted to add a note when it comes to the adaptive method and swiping. I'm thinking of two headlines. They laughed when I sat down to play the piano, but then they heard me play. And are you making these common mistakes in English? Those are two great headline styles to swipe, but the market and the reason that the market buys has an impact. If you're selling something that wants to improve status, wow people, make people look at you in awe, that sitting down at the piano headline would do great. But if you're selling to people who are insecure, it wouldn't work very well at all. They're trying to overcome some insecurity. But if you're selling the, are you making these common mistakes in English style headline, if you're selling to an insecure market that's not worried about status, they're just worried about covering up an insecurity, it'll work great. So the adaptive, no bad ideas, the context that you were talking about earlier of knowing who the market is also comes into play.
Yeah, it's important. And when you free yourself from limits and constraints, you might come up with some good ideas, so quote unquote, not bad ideas, that when you look at it later in the context of what you know to be true, you can't use it. So you have to consider all those things. Totally agree. All right, so let's get into creative brainstorming. And this is the more challenging kind of brainstorming. Okay, there are a lot of ways in copy. I'd like to take two existing ideas, probably two existing proven selling ideas, and combine them into a new one. Now, you can go wild with this process and just combine any two ideas or three ideas or just come up with a completely new idea. But let's stick with the combining two proven ideas for right now. So for copywriting mentoring, I'm going to take two proven headlines from advertising headlines that make you rich and come up with a couple new combinations. For source material, we'll use How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is on page 73, and How to Build a Body You Can Be Proud Of from page 17. Now, again, I've done my prep work, 30 years, in fact, so I don't need to do any more for this example. Our first brainstormed headline combining those two is How to Develop a Copywriting Career You Can Be Proud Of. Pretty straightforward, not too bad, but let's try again. How to Get Your Client Results With Your Copy You'll Be Proud Of. That might work a little better because most copywriters want to be proud of their results at least as much as they want to be proud of their careers. And since we have a chance to try out their no bad ideas, let's do this one. How to Write Copy Even a One-Legged Golfer Would Be Proud Of. Hat tip to my friend John Carlton. I think this one's just a little too out there. But it will get recognition and create curiosity in experienced copywriters who know about Carlton's famous one-legged golfer letter, who's a golfer, not a copywriter. Okay, now the key thing in all these examples is the prep you did before you started brainstorming will also give you the basis for evaluation and analysis later. You can put your judgy and analytical hats to the side when you're brainstorming headlines, but an important step in the process afterwards is putting them back on when you look at what you came up with and using your common sense. Will it work? Can you get outstanding results? Of course, the market will ultimately tell you, but your assessment ahead of time will improve your odds. And just so you know, this is also step 7 of Osborne's original 7-step brainstorming process, verification, judging the resultant ideas.
I think one thing to add here too is you were mentioning at the beginning of the show, including all of the previous education you have about copywriting. A lot of times copywriting is done just by yourself. So it's you coming up with the ideas and having that context, having that filter of reading those books and knowing what works and why it works is an important thing to not waste your own time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's a good thing to do. It's also good to, you know, watch videos like this podcast, other things on YouTube, take courses. Yeah, I mean, copywriting is something that you can absolutely learn by yourself without interacting with anyone or reading a book. But I mean, I've had clients come to me, clients who are making a lot of money, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you show up at a black tie dinner in jeans and a sweatshirt, and you go, they realize they're missing something. And, you know, they want to learn the basics. And that's one of the things I do, even with advanced copywriters, is we just review all the basics so that they're reference points to use when we're doing other work. Okay, so let's wrap this up. The key point of today's show is you absolutely need to do prep before you start brainstorming. Otherwise, you risk every idea being a bad idea. And what is worse, you won't have any reasonable basis to evaluate what you came up with after the fact. Your prep needs to include, most important of all, customer research. Find out who they are and what their biggest problems are. Pick a few problems, or even better, one problem that your product can solve better than anything else. Spend some time going over the product. List the features. List the corresponding benefits for each feature. And if the product can create a transformation for your prospect, list that too. You might want to review from successful ads from competitors, especially, you know, successful ones, all of them. Find out what's working in the marketplace. Match it up with what you've learned about prospects. You might come up with some interesting insights. And of course, the more experience you can bring to the table from other copy jobs and training, the better. That's when you put all that in the folder on your computer or desk drawer and then close the drawer or the folder. The idea is to stuff your brain with, and I think you mentioned this before, Nathan, the idea is to stuff your brain with relevant information and then forget about it. You won't actually forget it, of course, but you'll clear the table, so to speak, and make room for some fresh new ideas, including bad ones. That's okay, as long as you've done your prep work first.
Yeah, I think we're always going to come up with bad ideas, but if you can go through this prep work first, the amount of hits that you'll get compared to the amount of bad ideas will be significant.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely get more hits. So a couple books to recommend, and we'll leave links in the show notes. Alex Osborne's book, Applied Imagination, and my book, Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich.
And I'm just going to second Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich, still one of my favorite books on copywriting. And every time I'm struggling with a headline, that's my go-to for brainstorming the adaptive creative process that we talked about today.
Yeah. And, you know, even after you brainstorm an adaptive headline, it'll put you in the right frame of mind to come up with something completely new too. It just spurs the creativity.
All right. I will make sure to include links to both books in the show notes. If you want to get the show notes, they'll be over at copywriterspodcast.com, copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Are you getting tired of using the hero's journey in your sales copy over and over again? My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today.